Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. We start our music article for this month with Anita Baker, an R&B star with lasting style. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is April 25th, 2013, and we're starting a brand new article today. My favorite, as you all know, a music article. I always love being in the studio for these because I always learn something new and have a great time doing it. I hope that's true for you, too. You can start off by turning to page 38 in your advanced for this month, and we'll see that we're covering musical legends today. So a musical legend would be someone who's been popular in song for some time, and they've stuck around. They've continued to be popular past when they first became famous. So joining me to help us learn more about this, first of all, Bill, welcome.
Hi, Naomi, and hello, listeners. Glad to be here for this music article. And I'm very familiar with all three of these singers, so I look forward to it.
Oh, excellent.
Yep.
What's your favorite kind of music, Bill?
Rock and roll.
Okay.
Yeah, rock and roll. I grew up with rock and roll, and all through college, high school, even my adulthood, I've just loved rock and roll.
Okay, so what are some of the musical legends in rock and roll that you have been listening to for a long time?
Oh, well, you know, more recently, maybe, I guess a legendary status would be U2. And then go back even further, when I was younger, you would say maybe even groups like Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones, people like that. And then all the way back to Elvis Presley.
Of course. I was waiting for you to say Elvis. We all know you're a big fan of his.
Oh, yeah. Very much. A big fan. The King, Elvis.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Want me to sing for you, darling?
maybe later, Bill.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll save it for you.
Well, also joining us today is Nathaniel.
Yes. Glad to be back in the studio to talk about these musical legends.
And how about yourself? What kind of music do you enjoy?
Well, you know, I really like folky stuff, whether folk or folk rock. I like Bob Dylan. But I also like some other things like Elton John. I wouldn't exactly call him folk, but I really like his flavor, too.
I would call both of those singers definitely musical legends.
Yeah, I definitely would say so, too. Very well known.
For myself, I love all kinds of music, so it's hard for me to narrow it down. But probably my favorite would be jazz. So I love some of the musical legends in jazz, like Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Billie Holiday. But we're not talking about jazz today. We are talking about a few other genres, and they're very interesting ones. We're going to cover three very different styles of music with three very different musical legends over the next few days. So today we're starting off in what region of music?
R&B, rhythm and blues. And it's an kind of a niche in a way. Maybe a lot of our listeners here in Asia are not familiar with. It is it's kind of a mixture of rock and roll and jazz in between, though, those areas.
Yes. Sometimes we put this into the category of – sometimes we might call it easy listening, depending on the type of R&B, because it's something that's very relaxing to listen to, very smooth. And so – R&B, one of the singers that I think of would be our very own Black Pearl, Zarina London. She does quite a bit of R&B style music.
Yeah, and she does. And we might think of a lot of like the lounge singers. You know, we might go and hear a lounge singer, just one singer standing up in front of a band that is in the background. And actually so much focus is on the vocals and the delivery of those vocals.
Right. So it's something that's often people might enjoy it sort of as background music, just something to listen to sort of feel calm and relaxed. But also it's somewhat romantic.
Yeah. I think both jazz and R&B can be very romantic. We might say sultry, too. But the interesting thing is that the singers of those styles of music, you can really tell they're pouring their talent and emotion into those songs. So they're easy listening, but not necessarily easy singing.
Okay, that's a great point. And an example of a really terrific R&B singer is Anita Baker. So we're going to be introduced to her today. If you weren't too familiar with her before, then hold on, because you're about to learn all about her. So let's get started on page 38.
Musical legends get better with time. These well-known singers show resilience and talent as their legacies continue. Anita Baker is still giving the best she's got on new album. For more than 25 years, Anita Baker's voice has been one of the most distinctive and beloved in R&B. The 54-year-old singer released her first studio album in 7 years, last December. The single Lately, like other tunes on the collection, Only Forever, exudes the elegant but earthy warmth that has made her singing synonymous with romance. "I'd love to be the political voice of my generation, but that's not my gift," says Baker. "Typically, the theme of my albums, if there is a theme, is how does it feel? And that always leads to love songs. It just does."
Hi, friends. So again, we're studying musical legends over the next few days in the studio with Naomi and Bill and Nathaniel. And so it says here that musical legends sometimes get better with time.
Yeah, they get better with time. Sometimes like wine or maybe cheese or something like that, we think of those things getting better actually as they get older. Can be true with people's singers.
Okay, good. And a lot of singers will have sort of a heyday, a bright moment, a few years where they're very popular, and then they'll kind of disappear.
Yeah, that's very typical. It's very difficult to stay on top of the music business. So, and if people are lucky to have just even a couple of years of success, they're well ahead of most people.
Right. But our deck here, the little subhead under our title, explains that the people we're going to meet over the next few days are pretty special.
Yeah, it says they are well-known first, but they also show resilience and talent as their legacies continue. I guess resilience being this kind of energy to come back after a struggle.
Yeah. Okay, good. That idea of even if something gets you down, you come back again and you try again, you keep it up, you persevere, you jayo.
Yeah, you're diligent, you survive, and because of their resilience and talent, their legacies continue, which means the memories of them, the impression that they made on the industry does live on. People don't forget about them.
Right. To me, the word legacy and the word legend go together well. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea that someone who leaves a great legacy is a legend often.
Mm-hmm.
So people are kind of telling stories about them even after they're gone. They're saying that person was so incredible, so talented, so generous, so whatever.
Yeah. And again, most people are fortunate to have anything like that, to have people actually remember them and also remember them in positive terms, especially in the music business.
Definitely. But Anita Baker is an example of someone who continues to give the best she's got on a new album. Now, when we see that picture of her there, I believe this was just within the last couple of years, she looks like she could be starting out her musical career. I mean, she looks terrific, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does look great there, and she's done a good job of keeping in shape, keeping active. And now, I do want to mention one thing here with Anita Baker still giving the best she's got on her new album. That is actually a play on words from her 1989 hit, Giving You the Best That I've Got, one of her 8 Grammys.
Oh, very nice.
So there you go.
8.
Okay, 8 Grammys. By the way, can you explain what a Grammy is?
Well, a Grammy is an award for music, probably the top award for music. You always hear about the Grammy nominations coming out and that big award ceremony that they have.
Okay, so if she has won 8 Grammys, that means she's not just popular with fans. Everyone in the industry recognizes how talented she's been. And we find out that for more than 25 years, her voice has been well known. So I was surprised by that. When I was first sort of looking at her and getting introduced to her, I thought, okay, maybe 10 years?
Yeah.
But she's had quite a legacy already.
25 years, her voice has been one of the most distinctive and beloved in R&B, rhythm and blues. So distinctive meaning very different and unique.
Right. And then beloved, we can say beloved or beloved. They're both acceptable. It's a bit of an old-fashioned word that just means, of course, people love it. They love her. We find out that she's already 54 years old and that she is doing something brand new.
Yes, she is putting out a new album. It's the first in 7 years since December. And so that's a pretty big deal for someone who hasn't been in the studio for that long, coming back and giving their audience something new.
Right. So she first released a single called Lately, and that came out a few months before the album. And we actually have a sample of that song to play today. Before we continue to discuss her, we'd love to give you a little sample of what she sounds like. So let's listen. So that gives us a little taste of Anita Baker's style, and that is that most recent single, Lately. So I like that we had a chance to listen to it a minute, and now we can read how our author described this piece of music.
Right. They used the words elegant and earthy. Elegant but earthy warmth these songs give off. So they do sound very smooth and nice to listen to. That's kind of part of the elegance there. They sound very classy, but also very warm and kind of down to earth and human too.
Okay, so you can feel there's real emotion there, but it is still very almost sweet, you know, like it feels like she's dressed up. Do you know what I mean? Like you hear her singing and you imagine that she's wearing like a nice dress, not like a sweatshirt.
Yeah, we're at a candlelight dinner and
right.
Anita Baker is singing to me while they serve the Chateaubriand.
Yes.
And then the feeling is that it is synonymous with romance.
Synonymous.
So, well, it means to represent the same thing, have the same meaning. Of course, in English, in grammar, we have synonyms, which have the same meaning.
So it's sort of this idea like if you looked up romance in the dictionary, you would see Anita Baker's picture almost. So that feeling that comes off of her songs, that exudes from her voice, that comes out from her voice, I think is what's so appealing for a lot of people and probably why they would want to buy the whole collection, the whole album, Only Forever. Now, what's really interesting to me is this next paragraph. She talks about her own style, and to me, it seems very surprising what she had to say.
I was surprised, too. She says, I'd love to be the political voice of my generation, but that's not my gift. So she recognizes that her gift is music, even if she might be interested, wants to be involved in politics, but she's going to give something that she knows she can do well at.
Right. So a lot of singers try to make a statement with what they're writing. They sort of say, oh, how can I represent something that's happening? How can I address an issue? How can I sort of take a stand for something? And many singers do this very well. But she says, that just doesn't happen for me.
Now, it isn't for her. And it's interesting. A contrast is the gentleman we talk about tomorrow. That's his forte. Whereas Anita Baker is in romance and love songs. And she goes on by saying, typically, the theme of my albums, if there is a theme, is how does it feel?
Okay. So some artists will start with a theme. They'll say, okay, this album is going to be all about fill in the blank. So, for instance, even a holiday album or an album about being on a journey or an album about summer. You know, there can be such a variety of themes. But for her, she says, well, there's not really much of a theme usually. I'm just going off of my own feelings, my emotions.
Right. And that is, how does it feel? And of course, maybe the highest of human emotions is love. And so she says, how does it feel always leads to love songs. It has to happen. It just does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like that she just, and that is her strength. I love this paragraph. And I think that's instructive to all of us, that we should actually stick to what are our gifts and don't try and be something we're not.
Hmm.
I totally agree. I like that about her as well, how she just says, hey, this is me. This is what I write. This is what I love.
Yeah.
I hope you like it too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's in a bit of a new phase now. She is trying some things that are a little different. So let's hear more about that.
A new phase of life. Lately, I've been writing odes to my family, Baker says. Her younger son, Ed, starts college next month. Like brother Walter, he's studying music. So I'm an empty nester now, Baker says. There's a song, Free, that just came through me, watching them go out into the world. I want them to hear my voice and to have advice readily available to them. Her son's decision to enter into their mom's famously risky profession hasn't been a source of anxiety. My father worked on assembly lines in Detroit while I was growing up. But he told me, life is short. Do what you want to do.
So Anita Baker has entered a new phase in her life, a new sort of section or a new moment of life. She, again, is a little bit older than you might think from her picture. And so she already has a couple of sons who are in college. And so she begins by talking a bit about them.
Yeah, she says, lately, I've been writing odes to my family. Now, an ode is like a tribute or something that you would either read or sing to someone to honor them.
Right. If you've done any kind of English literature study, then you've probably studied some odes in poetry class. And so she's writing some tributes to honor her kids. And both of them are studying music.
Right. They are both studying music in college, which, you know, that a person like that, that is famous in the music industry, you wonder what they think about that exactly, and they might worry for their kids in doing that too.
Right. We'll get into that in just a second. First, she wants to address something that I think every parent can relate to at some point.
Yeah, she's an empty nester right now, and that is when the parents have kids, and then they grow up, and they move out of the house. Just picture the house being a nest, and the little birds fly away, and the parents are left. They're the empty nesters.
Right. So for many people, this can be like a second honeymoon for the marriage. They're like, oh, the kids are gone. Oh, we can relax. But I think there's also a sense of loss, for sure, especially for the moms. They have to get used to this, and it's often pretty difficult for them. And so it sounds like she's kind of working through this in writing songs.
Right. There's a song called Free that she says just came through her when she watched them leave, which is an interesting name for this song. At first I saw that, I'm like, oh, she feels free that now that her kids are gone. I think it's probably, you know, that she's kind of letting them free into the world and, you know, that experience. But yeah, interesting.
It could have two meanings. They're free, or maybe she's finally saying, woo, free, yeah.
Right.
Now she can go have some fun.
I guess you'll have to track down the song and decide for yourself which perspective she has there. But she says that even though her kids are moving away, she still wants to be there for them, maybe in a bit of a different way.
Well, in song, I want them to hear my voice and to have advice readily available to them. And readily available just means easy access. They can access it at any time.
Yeah, and that's a nice thought. I mean, that's why my mom would write me cards and, you know, send me things. She just wanted me to remember that she was there for me if I needed her. And I get that same kind of love from Anita Baker for her sons. She really cares, particularly perhaps because their decision to follow music, well, you might think she could have some worries about that.
Right. This says that that's a famously risky profession. If something is risky, it could be dangerous. You're kind of stepping out on air, not sure if your foot is going to land well or not in this music industry. So, of course, she would be somewhat worried.
Mm-hmm. But it says here that it actually hasn't been a source of anxiety. It hasn't caused her to worry. Why not?
Well, she says here, and she reveals why in the next quote, "My father worked on assembly lines in automobile factories in Detroit while I was growing up, but he told me, life is short, do what you want to do."
Okay, so can you explain more about assembly lines?
Yeah, that is where the cars are manufactured. Imagine a large car factory, and then you start with like just a few pieces in the beginning, and it goes through this route in the factory, and as it does that, it gradually becomes a car as employees put on different parts.
Mm-hmm. So her father worked very hard. He worked long days, probably for not very much pay either. It sounds like he was just a really hard worker. But he surprisingly had some advice for her that sounds like maybe he didn't really take himself.
Right, when he says that life is short and that you should do what you want to do, it doesn't sound like he's overvaluing, you know, your salary or, you know, putting food on the table. But he says you want to be happy in your life, you want to be satisfied in your life, so do something that's meaningful to
you. Right. That was kind of surprising to me because I think a lot of parents sort of want their kids to follow in their footsteps. So if your father worked on an assembly line, you might expect him to say, yeah, you need to work hard. You need to have a steady job to make sure that you can support your family. But he gave her sort of the opposite advice.
Well, you know, certainly, I don't know if anybody grows up dreaming when we were a child, boy, I want to spend 30 years on an assembly line. It's not something we dream of doing. Mm. You know, it pay-wise, actually, he probably did okay because of the auto workers union. However, there would be a form of drudgery with this, D-R-U-D-G-E-R-Y, drudgery. And that means so boring and just almost pointless every day to go in and do the same thing. He didn't want Anita Baker to go through what he went through with this career that was really leading to nothing great.
Right. So in other words, don't worry too much about the money.
Yeah.
Don't worry too much about success. Mm-hmm. Try to do what you love and it should work out okay. Life is short.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think what he said here, you know, we could take it a step too far. I don't think it applies in every case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he meant, you know, you can make whatever dumb decisions you want about life in general because life is short, so who cares? But I do think he was saying, you know, don't get stuck in a career that you hate. All right. So finally, we see that well, clearly, Anita Baker loves her career because she's still working away. And this latest album has just been released, and so we learn a little more about it in our final reading.
The latest album. Baker continues to apply her father's counsel in her own career. For Only Forever, she initially recorded everything live to analog, to be true to my soul. But I also want to be an artist of this time, to embrace 21st century recording techniques. And with amazing producers, I was able to balance those goals. Essence Entertainment Director Corey Murray expects that the classic sound suggested by Lately will resonate with fans, who have been waiting for Anita to come back. Her popular songs were true love songs. Even if she sang about heartache and pain, there was a beautiful sweetness.
So that good advice from Anita Baker's father, she's continuing to apply it to her career, isn't she, Nathaniel?
Yes, she is. Her father's counsel, her father's advice, two different ways of saying that. She says on this new album, Only Forever, she initially recorded everything live to be analog, so that would be true to her soul. I think the important thing to know about analog is that it's a process that really came about before this digital revolution of music.
Right. So if you record something digitally, you can mix it and master it and change it and adjust levels. And I shouldn't be talking about this. We should have our sound engineer, Marco, come in and explain it to us because I don't really know how it works. All I know is that he can work magic with these digital recordings.
Yeah. But analog would be different where you've got everybody in the studio. All right, let's do this song right now. And then everybody's playing all at the same time.
Mm.
They all better get it right. At that time, if they don't, they got to do it again.
Right. So it's a bit more real. It's a real take. It's you're really listening to what they really played instead of sort of tweaking it and adjusting it and balancing a sound here and eliminating another one there. So she says this is to be true to her soul. And I like that. I like this idea that if you're not performing live, you're not really performing. So I like that. But she also says that doesn't mean she wants to get stuck in the past.
Yes, she wants to be an artist of this time and embrace these recording techniques from the 21st century, from now. So she recognizes, yeah, I had my my heyday, the top of my fame back at this time, but things have changed. There's actually some benefits to this new process as well.
Okay, so she didn't want to reject the new way of doing things either.
Now, it says here that with amazing producers, she was able to balance those goals, so probably recorded in analog, and then maybe later they were able to add things digitally, so blend both of them.
Right. So she gets a bit of a different sound than she would if she had just done pure digital the whole way, which brings us to the final paragraph there. The entertainment director at Essence, Corey Murray, who expects what?
That the classic sound suggested by the single lately that we listened to will resonate with fans. Okay, if something resonates with someone, it kind of, we might say, strikes a chord. It, you know, it touches something meaningful to them, or they have a particular response to it.
Right. It kind of means the same thing as echo. So it's this idea, if you hear something and then you kind of keep hearing it in your heart or in your mind, or you keep thinking about it, or it just affects you in a different way. So they say, yeah, we think that this sound will really, it will click with people. They'll connect with it.
Yeah, with the people who have been waiting for Anita to come back. Remember in the beginning we said she had not done an album in 7 years, so they're anxious to hear from her again. Her popular songs were true love songs.
Aw.
Even if she sang about heartache and pain, then there was a beautiful sweetness.
I like that, too. You know, it shows a great perspective on life to say, you know, even when things are bad, there's still something beautiful to it. Even when things don't go the way that we want them to, it doesn't mean we're not learning and growing and understanding new things.
Yeah, that's true about love songs. And I think that the most well-known or maybe the most resonating love songs that there are, they will show both sides of that, of those kind of feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's kind of a popular thing with her songs. Okay, maybe there is heartache and pain, but she's not being all sad and depressed about it. She's acknowledging it, and it's almost like, okay, let's move on. It was great. We had it. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty healthy way to look at it.
I think. It is. Yeah.
Okay, well, we are going to meet a couple of more people before this article is finished that have also become musical legends that started their careers many years ago, but that continue to be popular today. So I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then.